말씀.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 396, stanzas 3-6. The Lord is right in all his ways, his works, his love declare, and he is nigh to everyone that breathes in the trustful prayer. 3-6 of 396.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof the 12th chapter, beginning by verse 10. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 12, beginning at verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Holy, righteous, just, almighty, and good-doing God, thou who art in heaven, we upon this earth, givest unto us yet an opportunity to draw nigh to thee, though our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day, so that if we, each and every one, would come into thy majestic presence and stand before thy holy throne, we will tremble outside of thy dear Son, having not one word to a thousand questions. We shall be struck dumb, not able to speak, and shall hear that awful sentence, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. O Lord, give to us in our hearts a deep impression, for we have no such impressions by nature, having a hard heart. Grant us a new heart, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, that we may be impressed by the power of thy most holy Spirit, and that we may be in this short life prepared to stand before thee in that judgment to which we all are traveling, and we have once again another example thereof set before us in the night that is gone by, so that the message does come to each and every one, not only the old, but also the young. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die. O Lord, who can die? Who can stand before thee? Then we need that mediator, and we need a daysman to stand betwixt us. We need one to give an answer at that throne of thee. Oh, that we may receive eyes to see this, a heart to understand this in the day of grace. For thou didst say, as we have heard, he that is not with me is against me. With a form of religion, with words of religion, with talk, with a profession, with a bowing of our head as a bulrush. If we are not with thee, we are against thee. Oh, give that in our hearts there may be also a conviction when we are traveling in our natural state with a form of religion. So much commotion in all the world that is about us, so that so little as seems to be considered of the need of our own soul. Wilt thou bind it upon the heart of each of us individually, and that we may receive from thee that grace that we cannot miss as we travel to meet thee. Every idle word that we do speak shall come into that judgment. Not one word shall be missing that we have spoken against one another, and that we have spoken even against thee. Oh, then we need a fountain, and we need a washing, and we need a cleansing that only thou art able to give. Lord, remember us. Oh, remember us in thy mercy. Remember thy children. Oh, give to them a special place in the times wherein we live to storm thy throne of grace, and that thou mayst hear them as thou didst hear also thy own dear Son. For the sake of thy great name, for the sake of thy truth, for the sake of thy church, and that thou mayst yet bless in the midst of all the tribulations, that there may be a blessing undeservedly out of thy heavenly store. Do remember all thy children. Oh, give them a little crumb this day in thy house, even it can seem that it has that thou hast forgotten them, and then we know not where that they are, nor the condition of their soul, but thou knowest all and each of them, that thou mayst look them up, O Lord. Could it be in this afternoon hour to grant them a little token that thou knowest of them, and to feed them upon this journey and through a wilderness a little of that heavenly manna, and that they may eat and that they may be satisfied? One word from thee, as the bread of life, is sufficient. Remember all those that mourn. O Lord, thou knowest where that they are, the children, the husband. O look upon them as a family, and wilt thou give also to them a little of thy presence and thy nearness, and the drawing of thy Holy Spirit. Remember the parents in a special way, and for thou knowest also their sorrows once again in their life. Oh, be, Lord, on the right and on the left. Remember all that mourn, all that are sick, the afflicted ones, those also that suffer from trials that we know not of. There can be that they bear a burden all alone. But thou knowest the burdens, and thou art able to take them upon thyself. Give then a prayer in the secret chamber, in that blessed place of quietness, and between thee and their soul. Oh, do show to the afflicted that thou dost yet live, and draw their souls and hearts out unto thee, that also the soul's needs may be laid upon their hearts and upon thee thyself, that thou mayest take them over, and that thou mayest gladden them with their deeds. And wilt thou remember all the congregation, for we have a soul and that is traveling to eternity. Oh, bind that matter upon young and old, and may it be in this afternoon, and that there may be a blessing out of thy heavenly store for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 385, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Deliver me from evil. Preserve me, Lord, from wrong. Against the foes that gather, be thou my helper strong. And what follows in 385, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus has said that there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake or the gospel's, that shall not receive again here in this present time an hundredfold. Brethren, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. With persecutions, that is the lot that is assigned to the true church of God, to the end of the world, and especially at the end of the world. It is persecutions that will take forth the precious from the vile. Within the church of God, more than Jeremiah or any other servant of the Lord is able to do. The Lord Jesus said of the stony ground hearers that when persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by they are offended. That is the difference that he sets out between the stony ground hearer and that seed that fell into good ground. That people, they will be willing, made willing to endure persecutions without offense. How will it be for us when we are sifted in that sieve with our children? How will we endure persecution? Will we then be found to be followers of the Son of Man? The words of our text can be found in the portion read to you, Matthew 12, and there are verses 14 through 21. 14 through 21 of Matthew 12. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them, and that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So far the words of our text. Christ persecuted first the person persecuted. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him, the person who is persecuted. Second, his manner under persecution. We read, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Also, and charged them that they should not make him known. Next week, the Lord willing, then we hope to follow with our third thought, his followers in his persecutions, which we read, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and with its context. Thus Christ persecuted, and for this afternoon, first the person persecuted, and second his manner under persecution, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. That is verse 17, that stands right in the middle of this portion. And there is actually a very beautiful parallel, and that is taking place around this verse, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled. Before this verse, then we have a description. We have a description of the persecution of the persecuted person, his actions, his followers. After this verse, that it might be fulfilled, there we have the explanation of that persecution, that it might be fulfilled. Thus, Isaiah, that is who Matthew is quoting, Isaiah, he has prophesied of the character of Christ. He has prophesied of the character of the followers of Christ before that he has even come. And then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. The church does not know where that those persecutions are going to come from. And then it is possible that they come from the government. We can see that in the church history. It is possible that persecutions come from the world. But here we read that there are persecutions coming from within the church, from the rulers of the church. We can read in Micah that he says that a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. Then we can read in the Bible how that a father and a son and a mother and a daughter, they shall betray one another and cause them to be put to death. Friends, what did the Lord Jesus say? He said that mine own familiar friend had lifted up his heel against me. Where shall they come from? Persecutions. We look, we think they will come from the world. The Bible says they will come from many other places. Then the Pharisees went out, and they are seeking that they might destroy him. How low Christ has come when he was agreeable to his Father, and that he was willing to become a persecuted person, just as a weak man that cannot defend himself as he is going through this world. And they have a desire not just to harm him. Oh, they have a desire to, it says, destroy him. They want to kill him. Is that the first time that you read about that, boys and girls, in the Bible, that someone wants to kill the Lord Jesus? Say, no, I remember that story. When the Lord Jesus was just a baby. Oh, then Herod, he has killed all those children in Bethlehem. He had a desire to kill the Lord Jesus. It is Satan. Satan that has filled these men with his spirit, that they have a desire to kill him. And God has said that he shall bruise his head. That is Satan, his head shall be bruised by Christ. But that will not be without a struggle. That will not be without a warfare. Is that not a wonder that Christ was willing to come into this world? That he might engage in this warfare. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They gathered together. They discuss their evil intentions. They make a plan. Who is the chairman of that meeting? That is the devil. And who are all those counselors in that council? There are men who call themselves the children of Abraham. There are men that are revered by other persons within the church for their outward show of religion. But it is rubbish. The Lord Jesus said of that religion that they had made clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. But the inward part was full of ravening. It was full of wickedness. What a cloak that the devil is able to hide in. There can be a cloak that looks just like true child of the Lord, how they might destroy him. Why did they want that? To destroy him. Well, they hate him. Why did they hate him? They did not tell the truth. Sure, he told the truth. When he spoke, when they asked him questions, then they could not say one word against his answers. Then it was the truth that has closed their mouth. Why then do they hate him? Oh, they hate him because he has exposed them. They hate him because he has taken away the mask that they have tried to place over their face. They hate him because he has condemned their empty and their vain and their carnal religion. Thus their heart was burning for his destruction. Why? Because he was honest. How is that with us? If the Lord begins to expose through his word what is coming up in our heart, because this hatred that is a sure mark of false religion, true religion that desires honesty, true religion sees that I have to stand soon before God. True religion sees so clearly that the opinions of men mean absolutely nothing, that there is no man that can go with me through that valley of the shadow of death, that the opinion of men will do me no good when I have to stand before a judgment seat of God. Then it is true religion that is asking, that is beseeching, O Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in that way everlasting. Does that live in your heart? Because if that does not live in your heart, when your brother is honest with you, then we have a sure mark of hypocrisy. Only remember that a hypocrite can still be converted. That a hypocrite can still be made honest by the Lord. Then we need to go upon our knees. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him, outwardly speaking. Then we say it is not understandable unto these people. And we can see that. Because these people are asking how this can be. Is not this the Christ? When they see the great miracles that he has done, and then there is coming a great confusion among the people. They do not understand it. The very rulers, the Pharisees, the scribes, they want to harm him. They want to take him. They want to put him to death. But he is a man so gentle. He is a man so good. He is a man that goes about healing the people. His words we understand. Then how is it possible that this man can be sought out by the rulers that they might destroy him? Matthew tells us why. Why that they want to destroy him. We say, Matthew, that is the Lord. The Lord tells us why. Because Matthew is inspired by the Lord in his writing. And then Matthew says that there is something happening here. That is why. There is a higher hand in this, what is taking place. There is a prophecy here that is being fulfilled. That's when God's church cannot understand the things that are happening, when it seems that it goes against the truth. When it seems to go against Christ, when it seems to go against his church, when they cannot understand the reasons of things, sometimes they need to hold their peace. Sometimes they need to ask themselves, is there now a higher hand in what is taking place? Especially when there are trials. Especially when there are afflictions, there are tribulations, there are persecutions. Why? Because the flesh of the true church of God, desires to throw off that burden. What did Peter say? Not so, Lord. Not so. Can I go against thee? When it goes against thee, it goes against the truth. When it goes against thee, it goes against God's people. Not so. No persecution, no trials, no tribulations. Go to the throne here in the world. Set thyself upon it. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Christ was so much more willing than his church to go through and to suffer persecutions, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. What does he say? He says the Lord is only bringing about his decree, but that is now hidden for the church. What is that decree? Oh, the church doesn't know. The church is often perplexed, but what is written in that decree for the church? With persecutions. That's the word of God. Unchangeable. Thus the church needs to settle this in their minds with persecutions. Isaiah has long time ago already spoken about the persecutions against the person of Christ. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show forth judgment to the Gentiles. Judgment to the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. That is the decree of the Lord. That was written already by Isaiah so many years ago. But how is that now going to come about? In the time of Isaiah, there was a theocracy. The kings of Israel did sit on the throne of Israel. It was to the children of Israel that the word of the Lord was sent. And Isaiah speaks now about the Gentiles' judgment that is not to bring them into judgment, but that judgment of Christ that is to bring in, that is to gather the Gentiles. So how will that happen? Well, the Lord can make anything happen. And how does the Lord make things happen? You say he does miracles. Wait a moment. He has done many miracles in special times. But most of the time, the Lord is using means to bring about his own will, his counsel. How is that going to happen? That he is going to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Well, those Jews are going to make themselves unworthy of him. They are going to persecute him. They are going to cast him out of the vineyard. They are going to say, "This is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." And at the same time, they're going to justify themselves in their supposed piety, in their religion. At the same time as they cast him out, they're going to claim for themselves the title of the children of Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. But they had no desire for him that would come after Abraham. Thus they are going to persecute him. And so in this way, he is going to bring in the Gentiles. Oh, what a punishment is due unto those who reject him, especially while holding on to the very name of the children of the Lord. Within that visible church, many stripes, Christ says, shall be unto that people, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah long ago. Isaiah has prophesied that this man would come who would be willing to endure rejection. Who is he? Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul delighteth. The blessed declaration of the Father concerning his Son. Co-equal with the Father, and yet willing to humble himself, willing to bow himself down to be a servant to the Father's desires. What were the Father's desires? That people, he had created them. He created them in his image. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And what have they done? They've fallen away from him. Oh, what is now the Father's desire? To bring back his people unto himself. They are fallen away. They are dead in sins and in trespasses. They are guilty. They cannot stand in the judgment of God. They are filthy and polluted. They cannot come into his holy presence. But the Father has a desire to bring them back again unto himself. That is where it begins, in the life of God's people. Not with them. That is a fruit of the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Where is the beginning? I am the Alpha. I am the beginning. And now the Father, the Son, he is willing to become what? A servant. Behold my servant. The Father says, may you see him? Behold my servant, who was willing to bow and to humble himself in order that he may do my desire to go and to retrieve that people and to go in a way of persecution. Father has said, with persecutions. And the Son has said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. O my God, I desire to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. I desire to become a servant. I desire to do what thou wilt have me to do. So that was with that blessed Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Therefore he is called the Beloved by the Father. If that was now that Beloved, that only begotten, How is that now with the adopted ones? The adopted sons and daughters of God. Are they ready also to go in that way of persecution? I will put my spirit upon him. That is now what that Spirit of the Lord is instructing that people in, to follow in the way of that only begotten Son of God. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved. Oh, what a name that has been given to the Son by the Father. My beloved, what endears more than a blessed willing submission and obedience to go in the way of the Father. My beloved, the Father calls him. You ever call him that? My beloved. Read it in the Bible. You read this, that in the Song of Solomon. The bride, she says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Is that not remarkable? Oh, when it becomes so, when the Lord is revealing him in the life of his people, then they begin to call him by the same name as the Father calls him. The Father says, my beloved. And that people learn in their life to say, my beloved. Oh, then there is a oneness. A oneness between the Father and the soul of that people. A oneness in their endearment unto the Son. That can be so far from the thoughts of that people, and yet it is true. The Father and their soul are bound together in love for the Son of God. And what is the basis of it? What does the Father say? Behold, my servant. Oh, that servanthood, that willingness to bear the afflictions, to bear the trials, to bear the persecutions, in order that he may reunite his children unto the Father. Oh, the true church learns to rejoice in that, in that blessed willingness of that Son of Man to suffer. They learn to rejoice in that, along with the Father. That is the beginning of a blessed unity between God the Father and their own soul. Oh, what music that is unto the Father when that people, they will be brought out of this world and they will sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. When they will sing the song to say, my beloved. And when the Father shall hear this out of the mouths of that multitude that no man can number, and there shall be such an endearment between the heart of the Father and the hearts of those adopted sons and daughters. Is it any wonder we read in the Word of God, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because he may then enjoy a beautiful and a precious song that is begun here through on this earth, but that melody that is so often interrupted here below. And yet they do sing. They do sing it sometimes, especially in the days of their own tribulations, of their own persecutions. And when the Father may say to them, "Behold, my servant," then they may sing. Let us do so. 426, 1, 3, and 8. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication, inclines his ear, gives strength and consolation. In life, in death, my heart will seek his face. 1, 3, and 8 of 426. Christ persecuted first the person persecuted, second his manner under persecution. What do we read? But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Thus he fled. Is that the first time he fled? Oh, he fled also when he was a little baby. Then he had to flee down into Egypt. So why did the Lord Jesus flee? Was the Lord Jesus afraid? Well, we know that his hour was not yet come, and he was in control of that time, and that he would be put to death. No one would be able to take him at a time that was not his own. But actually, we don't have to speculate about the reason that he fled, because we are told the reason that he fled. So who tells us that? Matthew? And Matthew says, Isaiah has told us that. We read, he fled in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. And what was that scripture that needed to be fulfilled? He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. So, Matthew, he says that he fled as a fulfillment of the prophecy of his character. So, Isaiah, many years ago, has already said what the character of this Messiah was going to be. We must remember that Jewish people, children, young people, they did not know who that Messiah was going to be. And then they had to look around them and they had to, well, who will that be? Well, how will they know? Well, then they had to look back in the Bible. And their Bible, that was the Old Testament. And all the prophecies of the Old Testament, then they had to read them. And they had to see who now that was. So, now Matthew says, by this fleeing, we must judge whether he is the Messiah or whether he is not the Messiah. Do the actions of this man, do they fit with the prophecy of the character of that Messiah that was to come? Now he says, you may judge. You may read it in the Bible and you may judge. What does it say? He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Thus Isaiah says that Messiah is not going to accomplish his objects the same way as the world is going to do it. So then you may see the difference. You may distinguish him from the world. Then it is going to be without the noise of the world. It is going to be without the commotion of the world. The Lord Jesus says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Not with observation. That is, not with the observation of the world. Neither will they say, lo here or lo there. He says, because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is spiritual. What did the Lord Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants do what? Fight. Fight. That, why would they fight? That I should not be delivered unto the Jews. That I would not have to undergo persecution. My servants, they would gather around me if my kingdom was of this world. But he says, no. Now my kingdom is not from hence. Oh, you say, Peter drew his sword. He tried, yes. Why? Because we don't want to suffer persecution. God's children don't want to suffer persecution. And what did the Lord Jesus say? Put that sword into its sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What does now the Lord say to his people? With persecutions. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. It will be without pomp. It will be without splendor. It will be without a disturbance. John Calvin writes, that we may form no earthly conception of him. That is right. And no earthly conception of his kingdom, because that is a false conception. His authority is different than the authority of this world. His power is different than the power of this world. It does not need loudness. It does not need commotions of men. He is the king of his church. Scatters away all evil with his eyes. Just looks. He is the king. He speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. No one can say to him, what doest thou? Do we believe that? The worshippers of the goddess of the Diana of the Ephesians, they had to make a great commotion. Whole city had to be gathered together. Why? Because that goddess had no power. Thus, they needed that commotion. And you know what we read then? Some cried one thing, some cried another thing. And there was a great confusion. And the greater part of that people did not even know why they are come together. Oh, that is the work of the devil. He is the author of confusion. God is a God of order. What did Esther ask for? Did she ask that any man's voice would be heard in the streets? Say, why would she? How would that help her? That any man's voice would be heard in the street. What did she need? And what did that people need? God's people. They were under persecution. The decree of the king was that that people should die. What did they need? They needed that the heart of that king would be changed. So how now do we change the heart of that king? Who can do that? Who can change the heart of a person? Say, only the Lord. That is right. Only the Lord. Should she now go and seek the favor of the world, that she may try to change the heart of that king? She didn't say that. She did say something. She said, go and gather that people together and fast ye for me. Go on your knees and pray to God. And pray to God. And when you will go on your knees and pray to God, then I will go. I will go. Orderly, quietly, and I will speak. I will try to edify, and I will try to show that king what is now wrong against that true people of the Lord. Oh, how weak I think that Esther has stood. Can you imagine, children, what that magnificent palace was of that great heathen king? And Esther, she is standing there. Oh, how weak that woman must have felt. But God is not weak. God is not weak. Weakest means fulfill thy will. Mighty enemies to still. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Oh, that true church congregation is always going to be a remnant. How do you think that their numbers are going to compare with the numbers of persons that are in this world? If that people had to depend on the numbers of persons who may be in agreement with them, that will be to the downfall of the church of God. To their downfall. The post-millennialists, they believe that the kingdom of God here below is going to increase and increase and increase so that there will be multitudes and multitudes of those who truly serve the Lord. That is, before that he returns to judge the quick and the dead. That is our experience. We have joined the wrong crowd. That is not what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The truth of God will always remain unpopular in this world. But Christ now says to his church, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, hath he said it, people of the Lord? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? James says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What did Nehemiah do? He stood before that mighty king. That mighty king. And he wishes that that heart of that king may be touched for the sake of the people of the Lord. And then what did he do? It says, so I prayed to God. Not even out loud. Just in his heart. Did the Lord make him ashamed? The Lord does not make his people ashamed. There is good reason that the enemies of the army of Cromwell have feared their prayers more than their swords. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. That will be his character. That is what the Lord says. That is why it says that when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Could he not protect himself in a miraculous way? You say, certainly. He had the power, but he used the natural means when they were available. He fled. And he gave instruction to his people because he said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you with persecutions. Settle it then in your minds. And when they persecute you in one city, flee ye into the next. Call upon me in the day of thy trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That is now the instruction of Christ to his people when they will have to go through that way. Oh, it is coming, congregation. It is coming. The instruction of Christ. He has gone before that church, and he has said to his church, follow me. Follow me. Who will now follow him in that way? You know what Thomas said? He said that to the rest of the disciples. He says, let us go, that we may die with him. That we may die with him. How often does that true church, they go forward like Thomas? Oh, then they fear that they will perish in that way. Do they? Do they? They do not. No, because he died for them. They will not have to die with them, him. But it is just the opposite. Despite all the persecutions that will come in the life of that people, they will live with him. They will live with him. Will that also be our portion? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bring thy word in our hearts, that we might learn from thee, because we are all like thy disciple. Not so, Lord, not so. Oh, remember when those days do come, when those days may be upon us, that we may be given true faith, that we may be given grace to follow thee and to bear what thou art pleased to lay upon us, and that it may be for our instruction, for our drawing away from all the world, and for that preparation that we must depart out of this world. Grant us thy blessing, and wilt thou bring us safely home. Help us in the week to come, the children, the teachers, administrators in the school, and wilt thou be among them. And wilt thou remember us as a consistory when we meet, and all the labors that must be performed, and with those who will be called to stand before an open grave. Oh, that thou may be on their right and on their left, and that we may receive together an undeserved blessing and instruction upon our sure journey to meet thee. We may acknowledge thee for thy help in this hour, crown it with thy blessing, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 356, all the stanzas, all who, with heart confiding, depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 356. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.